Hello and welcome to Paint Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Hoffman, the editor of APC Magazine. And today we're talking about scaling commercial painting through partnerships. Our guest today is Patrick Eby. He's the owner of Brothers Colors Painting in Florida and Indiana. Welcome to the program, Patrick.
Thank you for having me.
So Patrick, to start out, how'd you get into the painting business?
Wow. Started in the painting business when I was in college. Went to school to be a teacher. And during that time, I worked for a landscaping company. And one day I'm out spreading mulch in this lady's front yard. And she comes up to us and says, "Do any of you do painting?" Everybody, a quick no. Ironically, I went to school with her daughter. And I mentioned that. And then we just started having a conversation. And she was like, "Hey, would you paint for me?" And I'm like, "Again, don't really know, but you know, tell me more about this." And what it was she was selling her home, and the painters that gave her the bids couldn't do it for like 2 months. And she was trying to list the house, get it going. And I look at the few rooms, I think it was like a living room, a bedroom and a bathroom. And she was like, "I'll sweeten the deal for you. I'll pay you what the professionals, you know, were bidding." And I was like, "What is that?" And I think it was like $1,500. And at the time, college, not a lot of money. You know, I was like, wow. I was like, painters make good money. So I told her, I was like, "I'll do it." So from there, myself, one of my buddies, Kenny, and another friend, we just kind of started doing it. And during the process of that, the neighbor from across the street walks in and she's like, "Oh, you're painters." And we were like, "Oh, no, not really, you know." And she's like, "Well, it looks like you are to me." And she had a rental property down the street, asked us to bid that. We did that. And then the gentleman, Kenny, was, you know, good with like Google, SEO, all that. He's like, "I'll make a website. People will start calling and then good to go." And I didn't know anything about it. I was like, "Yeah, let's see what happens." And he made the website and we started getting calls and just kind of kept trucking along.
So teaching fell by the wayside?
Yeah. So went through that whole process, you know, graduated, all that. And it just, business was kind of booming at the time. And I just was like, "I think this is it. And I'm going to commit to it and stick with it." So teaching did, you know, never say never, you know, maybe I retire and go be a gym teacher or something, you know, later. But until then, painting was it.
And now when you're starting out, were you doing residential, or how did you eventually move into commercial?
Yes, primarily residential. Again, started, you know, with a ladder and a Toyota Corolla, and we were just doing small work and kind of, you know, growing slowly. And commercial, I think for us was, this company was building multifamily apartments in the city where we're from, South Bend, Indiana. And I think the contractor there was just behind on deadlines, all this other stuff. And they were kind of calling around town for like backups, like, "Hey, we're missing deadlines. We need help." And we went and they just told us like how much they were going to pay us. And then again, you know, mind blown, we're like, "All right, this is a lot of money. Like, we're going to help out." So we were working all day, all night, but we were getting pretty big checks. And then from there, we were like, "We got to start trying to figure out this commercial space." And we remember the site supervisor there was like, "Hey, you know, get yourself three or four guys, you know, that can spray and that's it. You know, then you can compete at this level." So that was always kind of stuck in our mind. And as years went on, we started getting more relationships and we were like, "I think this is the path."
How do you go about developing those relationships? I mean, in your life, it seems like people just kind of fall into your lap, but there must have been some intentionality behind some of it.
Yeah. So I think the first couple relationships definitely kind of fell into our lap, or it was also like, you know, they found us on Google. But from there, it was like account management. So with those first few, it was like, you know, getting to know them, seeing all, you know, what do you do? What's your role? Who else does the same, you know, role as you within your firm? And is there more work out there? So I think the biggest thing at that was like just building that relationship, not from a financial transaction. It was more of like, you know, tell me about yourself and getting to know them. And, you know, present day, some of those contacts that I still have probably 6-7 years later, like now it's a phone call with, you know, "Hey, is the project going well? You know, yeah, everything's great. Hey, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods fishing. You know, do you have any, you know, info for me on fishing?" So it's almost like a personal, you know, and business relationship, but I think just taking genuine interest in those people and then just showing them like, hey, you know, we're good at what we do. We communicate well, you know, we do what we say we're going to do. And then at that point in time, once you build that trust and I think get familiar with pricing and other things, you know, it just kind of set it and forget it, you know?
When you're first making that transition, I mean, did you at all feel like a fish out of water? I mean, what were the things that you found to be different and that you had to kind of learn to do differently?
Totally. Yeah, definitely some pressure, definitely the nerves. I think the biggest thing was it's a lot, you know? So if you go starting with like a 1500 square foot house into a 30,000 square foot building, you're totally like, this is a lot and we have to get this done and we got to be efficient and clean and, you know, maintain quality. So I think the biggest thing was just like your systems and the process and then just having that day to day, you know, just laid out. So we started having like a lot of like team meetings at the beginning of this beginning of the jobs, you know, like everybody huddle up, you know, what do we think we can accomplish today? What do we think is the best, you know, step-by-step process? So, you know, you do that with residential, but I think it's just deeper on the commercial side. And then, you know, you have the safety, you're using lifts, you know, you're working with all the other trades. So there's a lot of respect that needs to be considered too. So, yeah, I think it's just the grand scale, you know, speed matches quality is the commercial piece.
And after you started getting a few jobs under your belt and saw, you know, the potential here, how did you go about then cultivating more business?
I think we got the confidence and we were rolling and we felt good. And then I think building out that business model and finding more people was, hey, we know this works. Let's see who else does this type of work. And then again, it was just building that relationship side. Cause a lot of people I think fall in love with, you know, there's the bid boards, there's, you know, cold calling, cold emailing, all these things. And it's like, you know, we found that, you know, it doesn't convert very well. So you need to go find these people and, you know, stop in the office, say hello, introduce yourself, you know. And I think building trust, I think that human to human interaction versus a transactional, like, hey, do you have a job? It just, I think, performs much better for you doing it that way. So, and that's what has helped us the most is actually like going and knocking on doors and saying hello to these people in the commercial space.
So you say it's great to partner with general contractors. How do you go about that? How do you first find great general contractors to partner with? And then also, how do you convince them that you're the right guy to partner with?
So to find them, I mean, I tell everybody it's, you know, the Google searches is, you know, always a great starting point because you can see a lot of people will put like, you know, their projects and things on their website. So you can see what they're up to, what they've been doing. For me, I also drive around town as well. And you see people building stuff, you see the signs, you know, stop at a red light and immediately write that down. Like I'm going to call these guys or stop by the job trailer, things like that. And then same for us, you know, we tell them like, hey, we've done this, we've done a 250,000 square foot, you know, multifamily new construction. We've done this project, you know, we have a commercial pitch like deck that we can send to people. And then they always want, you know, references as well. So that's the other thing is I think if you're just building those relationships, you know, treating them well and growing that, they're your biggest fans and you can just have them call. So I have a list where, you know, these guys I know for a fact, you know, hey, they can call Kevin and Kevin's going to say they've painted, you know, 5 buildings for me. It's always gone well, you know, and I highly recommend them. So reputation's huge.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't buy reputation. It's earned. No.
Yeah.
So Patrick, what's that first kind of outreach? Like, I love the idea of, you know, kind of wearing out shoe leather on the streets and writing down, you know, the numbers of these guys. Do you just call them out of the blue and introduce yourself or how do you send an email? What do you do?
Well, I'll give you the insider tip here. So I created a challenge for the team. It was called the FaceTime challenge. And what they would get is they would get points for going to offices and meeting with specific people. So like decision makers would get you more points than maybe a pre-con manager or a PM or an estimator. So anyway, it was a point system to encourage them to go and meet these people and sit down. And, you know, they got, take them out to lunch, you know, on me, coffee, whatever. So it was the face-to-face, I think, because we spent probably 6 months to a year, phone calls, emails, you know, the building connected bid boards. And, you know, we got through it all. And I was like, all right, guys, how many did we convert? How did it go? You know, and it's like 1%, you know, not very good. So then we started the FaceTime challenge. The team started going out, you know, knocking on the doors, bringing in lunch. We just brought, you know, a GC some pizza like 2 days ago and sat down and chatted with them. And in those environments, they just convert better. I think people are just more open, relaxed, and develop. So they just convert better that way. And we've really been focused on, you know, pounding the pavement and just going in and saying hello. So the initial pitch is, you know, we're a painter, and if you got projects or if you're in need, like, please let us know. And, you know, if you've got particular pain points and things that haven't gone so well, tell us about it. And, you know, we'll see if we can help you.
Are they using LinkedIn to try to figure out who the decision makers are at a particular organization?
Sales Navigator is big. Yep. So we encourage that too. It's very good to use and see the decision makers and all that, because, you know, that's the biggest thing with being in commercial versus residential too. Like, the lifetime of the deal is much longer. A lot more people need to, you know, sign off on it, things like that. So to find everybody involved in the decision is very important too, versus residential, you're talking to the homeowner and that's it. So it's a lot more steps.
Take me through those steps. You know, you've got that original outreach, but what is the time cycle of this? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? How does the bidding work?
Yeah, so I think every company kind of has their own system. I think as you scale and get larger, it gets deeper, and then there are more decision makers. Mainly it is, so I'll say established relationships. Hey, Patrick, we've got, you know, another building that we're going to build. Here's the drawings, you know, bid due dates in a month. We have to send it out to 3 people. That's normal protocol, whatever. So there's that, you know, we'll go over the drawings, you know, first we kind of vet it too. Is it big enough for us? We try to stay, you know, 20,000 square feet and up, for those relationships that we have, we'll go smaller. So you check out the drawings, you know, you get it back, you know, by the due date. And then we just kind of follow up from there, you know, hey, any decision been made? What's the status? You know, are you comparing apples to apples? Does ours cover, you know, everything that you needed to cover? Any questions? And I think it's just keeping it warm. You know, we always tell the guys, you know, don't let it sit on ice here and forget about it for a month or two. It's just being proactive. And a lot of times too, people appreciate that.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Behr Paint, delivering the performance pros trust at the lowest price per gallon, guaranteed, exclusively at the Home Depot. When you're putting your name on the job, quality matters. When you're running a business, price does too. With Behr, you don't have to choose. Pro Extra Rewards from the Home Depot allows you to save up to 20% on Behr paint. No gimmicks or misleading paint deals, just real value pros can build a business on, only at the Home Depot. Go to behr.com/pro to connect with a dedicated rep that will take care of your needs and help you save money on your next job.
So I'd say smaller GC firms, small to mid, you might have pre-construction, the estimators, and then the project manager makes the decision, and the PMs will let you know if you're awarded or not. Larger firms, I think it goes beyond the PM. Then they have like a board. So meeting of the round table, there's 8 to 10 people, and they have to see, you know, is this company capable of doing this? You know, is it too big? Do they have the financial backing? Do they have enough people? Have they done, you know, a project similar to this? And so there's another vetting, you know, step to it, I think, as it gets larger of the project. But yeah, it's just don't submit a number and then just, you know, cross your fingers and hope that it's going to get done. So, you know, we encourage probably weekly, bi-weekly follow-ups, and, you know, and I get involved with that too, you know, to see what's going on larger projects.
It sounds like a ton of work that you have to put in just to get the job. I think you mentioned before that you had like a 1% conversion rate on when you're just kind of saying and spraying, so to speak. What's the conversion rate on this cycle where you have to go through all these different steps?
Ooh, you know, I would like to answer that. I'll circle back with you maybe at the end of this year, because, you know, we're mid-year. I will say this. we're getting a lot more invites and we're getting a lot more human to human interaction this way. So I would say in terms of like being like onboarded with their company, you know, submitting all our documents and then being eligible for the bids, we've gotten way more activity that way and gotten further and actually getting bids. So I would like to say conversion wise at this point, and this is just going to be not looking at the computer and not a full year, so small sample size, I would say we're converting more like 10-15% on these large ones right now. But I think we're still vetting GCs ourselves, right? So like we're trying to go cast a wide net. Here's 100 potential people that we could work with. And I think once we get it down to say 15, then at 15, I think that conversion rate goes up even higher, because then we'll get a job, you know, under our belts, and then we'll start converting better. Like a lot of the GCs that we've been, you know, in business with for years now, the conversion rate is, I'd like to say 100, unless they're not telling me about certain projects. But usually it's like, we've got another one, you know, the price, you know, the game, like here it is. And those convert the best. So the repeat, you know, we're converting very high on those.
And how do you go about turning that one-time customer into that repeat business? I mean, obviously you got to do a great job, but yep. You know, what else do you do after that to kind of keep top of mind?
I always start with, I just asking questions again, what are the pain points? What's going on, you know, that never, you know, clicks with the GC or what do they not like in the past? Like, why am I here now? You know, I'm the new guy, you know, on the team, tell me about the past. And I'll tell you like one customer right now, his thing was again, like showing up obviously is one thing. So those are the easy ones to check, you know, check off. We show up, we do a good job. And we're kind to everybody. But his thing was, you know, not awesome work was the last painter that he had. And then he was big on trash, like picking up after yourselves. And that's a thing that him and I shared, because I was like, totally agree with that. Like, I have the system, like end of every day, pick up, pick up, pick up. You know, don't be, you know, the sloppy guy over here on campus. And he appreciated that. And that might have been the thing that kind of put it over the hump for us. But I think it's just small things like that, you know, because a lot of guys get to a construction site and they just, you know, see one other trade or one other guy just like treat it like a dump, and then it just kind of snowballs and everybody's doing it and you're just like, you know, don't be that guy. So I think it's a lot of that. So yeah, just, you know, communication, quality paint, be kind and respectful to the other trades. You know, the site supers are big time, you know, that's their boots on the ground. So they're going to be reporting back to the PMs and the higher up. So it's always making a bond with them too. And I think we've done really good with that. A lot of those guys, you know, taking them out to lunch once in a while and catching up and making sure things are going well. So yeah, I think just good work and respect.
I love that. I think a lot of people probably struggle with making that leap. As you said, it's kind of like you can get in over your head, and yeah, that could get really dangerous really quick with projects of this size. How many people do you have in your office? At what point did you feel like the team was big enough to take on this challenge?
Good question. So right now in the office, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us, and then field painters. We have, I think, about 50 right now. And again, I think it was, you know, a slow buildup. I've been in it for 11 years and I don't think I really started seriously considering commercial till probably 4 or 5 years ago, to where we started getting some smaller ones. I don't believe in, you know, punching above your weight class here, cause you can get knocked out by a large job. Cause there's just a lot more that can go wrong. You know, like you underestimated materials, you underestimated time. You know, you didn't consider needing a lift for like 2 months or whatever it may be. So I think I felt good. I think our first couple projects were maybe just like 10 to 12,000 square feet. And like we crushed it. We did really well. And then it was just kind of like, now we feel comfortable by going up to like 20,000. And then we felt good to go to like 50. So I think it was just like, yeah, just getting a few under your belt and feeling good about it. And now for us, I mean, I think we're bidding things that are like 300, 400,000 square feet. I think we even got a few invites to like 500,000 square feet. So like those things, you know, we know now, we know our production rates, we know what we have on the roster and just feel very confident and comfortable about it.
And how did you end up opening a second location in Florida?
Yeah. So 2019, it was fall starting to head into winter. And as you know, all the painters in the North know, like, unless you have these established relationships and you have a lot of, you know, interior work lined up, work kind of starts to, you know, take a dip just because you're not doing anything outside. And I was like, you know, let me go see what's going on somewhere warm. And I, you know, had a couple choices in mind, ended up coming down to the Tampa, Florida area and really liked it. That same friend that started the business with me that did the SEO stuff, he again was like, hey, I'll put you on Google down in Florida and see what, you know, we can muster up. So started doing that, you know, got a couple residential jobs, then got a good commercial contact here in Ybor City. And all the guys in Indiana were kind of nervous, like, hey, are you closing up shop? You know, what are we going to do? And a lot of them I've either, you know, worked for me for, you know, 5-6 years at that time, or I've known them since we were like 10 years old. And so I had trust and faith in those guys. And I was like, hey, you know, just do your jobs, do it well. And I think we can figure this thing out and keep it going. And, you know, I would go back frequently in the beginning, and now it's less frequent because they're all growing and evolving and doing really well. And so, yeah, just kind of made it possible by having a great team and a great group of people to, you know, keep Indiana and we go up into Michigan too. So Indiana and Michigan, you know, flowing and growing.
I would imagine that was a real test, is starting in a whole new place all over again where no one had ever heard of Brothers Colors Painting. How were you able to make that initial contact that kind of unlocked that new market for you?
Yeah, no, it was super hard. So, you know, I'm from South Bend, Indiana, so small, not very big. You say Notre Dame, people get it. But if you don't say Notre Dame, nobody really knows where Indiana is on a map. So, you know, this was kind of that punching above your weight class type of thing where you get to a larger city and you're like initially like, oh, wow, there's got to be a lot of things going on, which there are, but there's also a lot more companies. So, you know, we made the website. We thought, you know, again, that we were just going to start cruising. We didn't. Luckily, I did get like an inbound lead from here in Ybor City, and they manage and develop a ton here in Tampa. Did one project for them. It went really well. And then from that point on, you know, we just kept cruising along. And, you know, I did ask him at one point, I was like, oh man, like, thank you so much, but why me? And he was like, you answer when I call you, you do good work. And, you know, I just trust you and you make like my job easier. And I was like, cool, like, appreciate that. And then he started, you know, giving me intros to other people around town. And then that just helped and grew the business down here.
Yeah, what's the what's it like there now? Is it surpassed the original operation, or how fast are you growing?
So I will say right now our pipeline down here is crushing, you know, the Midwest market. The Midwest is still the top dog, just because I think, you know, the roots are there, far more, you know, commercial relationships are there. But I would say 2027, this probably will surpass it and potentially even double it. Yeah, because Tampa's blowing up. Florida's blowing up. I think a lot of people know that. So it's just, yeah, I think the grind, you know, pounding the pavement and building that up, and it'll get there. But no, it's grown. Each year it's grown for sure. And I think next year is going to be the takeoff one because we've established a lot more relationships and a lot of big bids. So excited for that.
Nice. I talked to a lot of painting contractors who kind of flirt with commercial and would like to take commercial, but maybe they're a little bit of afraid of the new challenge. What advice would you give to them, and how would you say they should get started?
I mean, for the most part, I would tell them it's the same as residential, you know, for the most part, you're painting the same stuff, you know? So like, you're going to have drywall, you're going to have, you know, wood doors and metal doors, like, you know, the process. So if you know paint, you know, preparation, all that stuff, you know, it's just a little bigger and it can be intimidating. But I would say shoot for it. I would also say, you know, vet them, you know, vet your customers too, you know, cause I've, you know, been in some operations where, you know, I'm just like, I don't think I'll ever do this again. It was messy. Things weren't kind of structured how they should be. And, you know, so I think vetting those people as well. I know payment terms scare people off. You know, there's definitely that piece too. That was another thing in the beginning that made me nervous. But again, like if you just plan accordingly and, you know, save some money and have things lined up, you know, you're fine.
Tell me about that, actually, these paintings. Yeah. What's the kind of like lead time look like and how long does it take to get paid?
Good question. So, yeah, typically who we deal with, the GCs, it's a net 30. And then same thing when you're vetting people. I don't like net 60. I don't like net 90. So I typically am like, I'm all set with that. I'd prefer net 30. I'll do like net 45. But I think that's another piece, too, of like having, you know, your like my project managers. Hey, as soon as we're like checking these boxes and hitting these milestones, please pass that along to, you know, the office so we can get going on the billing, because you really don't want to waste any time with these net 30s and things like that. So the faster it gets kind of approved on site, we can get it out and get it moving. But yeah, again, just save your money and just be prepared for it. You know, it's hard, the grind's hard, but you can get there. I mean, there's other, you know, financial finesse things that you can do too, depending on your banks and, you know, the institutions that you deal with, that can probably help bridge that gap. But same for me, you know, again, that net 60, net 90, things that I just wouldn't want to do. Unless they're worth, you know, $500 million in paint, you know, and that was rinse, repeat, I'd probably wait 90 days. But, you know, so it's just part of the vetting process and just being prepared. It's not, you know, the same as residential. You're done, the homeowner walks it and, you know, writes you the check or, you know, pays your invoice online, you know, within 24, 48 hours. But
yeah, exactly. That's a pretty big difference there. I mean, how are you able to keep that cash flow going? Is it just managing the project so that, you know, they're ending and starting in the right times? Is it loans from the bank? How do you juggle that?
So I'll say this, a lot of it is still like, we still do residential. So like our, you know, Google site set up, we are still taking that inbound residential. So we'll still do it. And for us, our goal is like, we'll probably stop doing it when the commercial has grown so much that we still, you know, all those guys from the residential side can be converted to commercial, you know, because we want to keep them busy. They've got bills to pay, you know, families to feed. So they're still going. And those, you know, drops in the bucket do help bridge that gap a little bit. A lot of financial institutions too will do, you know, like a line of credit on your invoices. So you can do that stuff too, to where if you have a net 30, you could wait, you know, like a week or two and then hit the line of credit. And then you, if you pay that back within a certain window, you don't have any fees. So you can play that financial game too.
Any other advice for painting contractors who are looking to move into commercial?
No, but I would highly recommend, you know, again, going through the safety stuff, you know, because that's going to be the biggest thing too, is like, you know, having OSHA on job sites and all these other things. I've never had it happen to me, knock on wood over here, you know, no OSHA violations, none of that. But it's huge. You want your people to stay safe. You want the other tradesmen to stay safe. And, you know, so that would be a big thing too, is there's more of those hoops to jump through. But then it's also beneficial, you know, back on the residential side too. You know, like I've painted a residential house and needed a lift before, you know, so I would say one of the biggest things is just do like an OSHA 10, OSHA 30 class and just get familiar with some of that stuff, because safety is important.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Patrick, for taking the time to share your knowledge. I learned a lot.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. And maybe we'll catch up in 6 months to a year and give you some updates.
Thanks, Patrick. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. Visit paintmag.com to get your free subscription to APC Magazine, and see you next time here on Paint Radio.